Hi, it's Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. Welcome to the Psychology Behind, the podcast where we take a different issue every week, look at what the research is on it, and look at how to help you cope in the best possible way. Now, this week, I want to look at ways to overcome exam anxiety. Now, over the past few months, there's been a lot of discussion in the media about the impact of exam stress on young people's mental health, right? We hear stories of young people feeling under so much pressure to cope with the demands of academic life that they become tearful, they're unable to sleep, and in extreme cases, we've even had reports of things like severe depression or suicidal ideation. While these stories may seem extreme, research seems to back the notion that pathological exam stress is actually on the rise. So according to a National College of Health assessment in 2016, nearly two-thirds of students reported overwhelming anxiety, and this was up from 50% only 5 years earlier in 2011. Childline, which is a counseling service for kids, delivered over 3,000 online and telephone counseling sessions on exam stress alone in 2016-17, and this is up 11% just from 2 years before. Indeed, the NSPCC also recently reported that the number of referrals by schools in England seeking mental health treatment for kids had risen more than a third over the past 3 years. Now, when I was thinking about why this was, I believe there's two main reasons that we're seeing a rise in mental health problems related to exam stress. The first, I think, is an emphasis on testing, and the second, I believe, is social media. Now, we know that there's been a gradual shift over the past few years to assess schools' performance more or less solely on academic results, right? On the results that they managed to achieve rather than the students', I don't know, overall well-being. So currently, English children are among the most tested pupils in the world. From phonics screening checks in year one and the SATs in years two, right through to year six, then the 11 plus, and then the common entrance exam when they're about 13, and then there's GCSEs, and then there's A-levels. Pupils in England are tested more than their peers in most other countries. And indeed, they stay in school, college, or work-based learning a lot longer until they're 18. So because there's so many exams, there seems to always be another hurdle to jump over, right? And the thing is that it would have been in years past that the teachers were, you know, able to kind of have the time and the resources to spot this toxic exam stress. But because there's so much pressure on the teachers as well to get the right results, instead of focusing on the child that's being, you know, pressurized and doesn't feel great about this, they're conflicted and they kind of need to just push them through it and ensure they get those results. So whether it's primary schools getting the SATs to get the kids into competitive secondaries or secondary schools getting the GCSEs and A-levels to secure places at prestigious universities, the impetus seems to be on making the grade at any cost. And this means that young people tend to link their self-worth, their future, and indeed their identity on these results. And it's this all or nothing approach to the all important grades that reinforces unhealthy thinking. And the fact is that without proper resources to support and deal with it, our kids are left feeling less than. Now, the other issue is social media. Another recent study that examined this was by Jean Twenge, and it pointed to the development of something pretty worrying in the lives of teens. Between 2010 and 2015, she notes that the number of teens who felt useless and joyless surged 33%. The number of 13 to 18-year-olds who committed suicide jumped 31%. Twenge puts this down to the insidious effect of the way that young people use social media. And I agree with her. The constant comparisons, the fear of missing out, the self-objectification, and the need to constantly PR oneself is in no doubt going to cause young people to feel stressed. We know that time spent online has been linked with mental health issues across many different studies. And with Twenge's research suggesting that teens who spend 5 or more hours online per day being 71% more likely than those who spend less than an hour a day to experience depression and suicidal ideation. It may be the case, of course, that depression causes kids to spend more time online rather than the other way around, but several studies actually suggest that this is less likely. Because of this, when it comes to exam season, young people need to consider how their environment and technology impacts the way they learn. They need to seek support and make sense of the world. So if you're feeling stressed or your kid's feeling stressed about exams, here are 5 things that you can try. Number 1, spot it. The thing with stress is that sometimes we don't recognize it until it's too late and we're in the full throes of a meltdown. So we need to learn to spot the signs. If you find yourself feeling agitated or having trouble sleeping, if you see changes in the way that you eat and you're just generally feeling overwhelmed, it may be that the stress is getting the best of you. The other thing that stress does is that it leads to kind of this irrational thinking. So you find yourself catastrophizing. You know, you're constantly thinking of the worst case scenario where everything messes up on the day of the exam and your life is ruined forever. Remember, there is a solution to every problem. And one of the ways that you can get out of this negative, irrational thinking is to focus on action rather than outcome. So while on the day of the exam, you may be absolutely right and you may forget how to spell your own name. Worrying about this very remote possibility, however, won't help. Instead, shift your focus to the present. What do you want to achieve today? What can you do today that will help in the here and now? By thinking about goals in the present rather than possible catastrophes in the future, you'll feel less stressed and more on top of your learning. 2, don't compare. Everyone studies in different ways, and these days we have way too much information on the study habits of the whole world because of social media. Whether it's watching videos of people melting down before they go into an exam or the hidden bragging of people saying that they're worried that they'll fail because they've only completed 200 past papers, the more that you engage with these images and memes, the worse you'll feel. So curate your consciousness. Don't compare and accept that other people's results or study habits have no bearing on yours. Also, speaking of phones, we know that interruptions due to mobile notifications get in the way of consolidating memory. So do your best to study in notification-free environments. Be strict on how often you check your phone, turn off irrelevant notifications on your computer, and focus on the task at hand. 3, get the physiology working for you. Eat, sleep, and move. A healthy diet, enough sleep, and regular exercise will allow you not only to concentrate and learn better, but also deal with stress. So while it may be tempting to pull all-nighters while eating junk food, you'll actually get a lot more out of your ability and your ability to think and deal with emotions if you take care of your physical health. 4. Study effectively by figuring out how you study best. Now, one of the problems with feeling too stressed is that instead of it motivating you to take action, which is what stress is designed for, it actually gets in the way of you being able to settle and focus and work towards goals. Because of this, it's important that one of your tools for combating exam stress is to learn to study effectively. I think the first step is to figure out how you personally learn best. Some of us are visual learners, others learn through listening to people speak, others find that copying notes is the best way to remember information. It's a personal thing, so it's a good idea to figure out what works best for you and to implement it. Likewise, thinking about the environment that you work best in is important too. Some people like to lock themselves up in their bedrooms, whereas others could only focus when they're in a library, for example. So whether you're an early riser or have your mental peak, you know, at night, know the way you study best. Because if you want to get the most out of your revision, you need to consider how you personally learn best, because the goal is to be able to work smarter, not harder. 5, plan and practice. One of the most common reasons that we feel exam stress is because we don't leave ourselves enough time to study effectively. The sooner you start revising, the better. So take some time to map out reasonable schedules that'll allow you to cover all the material you'll need to know for each exam, and enough time, of course, to do some practice papers. Practice is really important because all that revising is great, but you need to make sure you know how to apply it in an exam situation. So it may seem really pedantic, but make your revision timetable as detailed as possible. Make notes not only of the information that you want to cover each day, but also schedule in study breaks, as these are hugely important when it comes to avoiding burnout. So those are my 5 tips for getting the best out of exam time. And look, guys, I know it's hard. You know, I always tell my daughter that when you're in it, it feels overwhelming. But if you think about it, everyone's been through it before. And, you know, most of us come out of it. The key is to kind of be in control of your thoughts rather than letting your thoughts control you. And by that, I mean, don't let the negative thoughts in your head of the what ifs and, you know, the catastrophes move you from the task at hand. The task at hand is to give yourself the best chance to learn. Know what kind of learner you are and implement those strategies. I hope you found this useful. I always love speaking to you guys. Thank you so much for subscribing to the podcast. I'll be back next week with another topic, but until then, I wish you all a healthy, happy mind and body.